Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It is January 8th, 2016, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, 2016 is off to the worst start for stock markets ever, despite intervention and trading halts. And it's not just Germany. Austrian cops tell women not to go outside as rape gangs take over. And as part of Obama's gun control, we're told,
buy a smart gun.
You know, it's for the children.
Why can't you say the gun cannot be engaged, the trigger cannot be pulled, absent that identification? Some version of that, smart gun.
But what about children that have protected themselves and others?
A male enters, he has a gun in his hand, and he points it toward this young man. At that point, the young man fired his handgun at the suspect, and the suspect was hit.
All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
This week we've heard a lot about the president's proposed gun actions, these executive actions that he says that Congress needs to get in line with him. Now, regardless of what you think about the president and what he's trying to do here, saying that the Congress needs to get in line with what you're pushing is, if you don't want to say dictatorial, it's definitely inching towards that. And I'll look at the president's fact sheet. He has a fact sheet about the new executive orders that he wants to push through. And I had a lot of questions when I first heard this press conference about some particular things that he wanted to get through on this session here. And I will say that I may have jumped a gun saying that he wanted to register things such as giving family members firearms. So I was off the mark on this. But on this particular angle, when we're looking at people who are engaged in businesses and what that means, engaged in the business of selling a firearm. Now, most people would think, you know, some FFL dealer, obviously a brick and mortar store. But he went on to expand it a little bit, and I want to read this example to you. And this is from the White House website. This is not my, you know, ad lib here. This is what they said. For example, courts have upheld convictions for dealing without a license when as few as two firearms were sold or when even one or two transactions took place when other factors were also present. So which is to say, you know, you don't have to be a big volume guy. You don't have to have a brick and mortar store or, you know, even a successful online store. If you're involved in as little as two transactions with other factors, that could be considered being a dealer or being engaged in the business. Now, what these other factors are, I don't know, but this gives me a whole lot of concern that if you, for example, you go out, you know, you meet somebody at the in a parking lot, whatever, you say, come over to my house, I'll sell you a couple guns in my garage. Okay, so you're selling two firearms to the person. Now, what are these other factors that could have you considered to be engaged in business as far as the eyes of the law are concerned? And that's the kind of thing that really concerns me about this whole deal. It's a lot of iffy things that aren't really explained fully, in my opinion, for the people to decide on before this type of legislation takes effect. Now, other people had other issues with what the president had to say. And one of them was the widow of Chris Kyle, the decorated sniper. And she confronted Obama about his gun actions and says the new rules give people false hope.
I want to think that we can make a law and people will follow it. By the very nature of looking at the people who hurt our loved ones here, I don't know that any of them would have been stopped by the background check. I want the hope and the hope that I have the right to protect myself, that I don't end up to be one of these families, that I have the freedom to carry whatever weapon I feel I need.
And she wasn't the only one. Also at this town hall forum on CNN, they had a survivor of rape. And she's saying, President Obama, can't you see that these laws that you're trying to push through are just going to make it more difficult for people like myself to purchase a firearm and make my children less safe?
It seems like being able to purchase a firearm of my choosing and being able to carry that wherever me and my family are, it seems like my basic responsibility as a parent at this point. I have been unspeakably victimized once already, and I refuse to let that happen again to myself or my kids. So why can't your administration see that these restrictions that you're putting to make it harder for me to own a gun or harder for me to take that where I need to be is actually just making my kids and I less safe?
Now, the president, to an extent, was correct in saying that she would still be able to buy a firearm. She would just have to go through the system that he wants to lay out, whether it be a background check or maybe even purchasing some type of smart firearm. We'll talk about kids using smart firearms here in a little bit. But for right now, I want to do a throwback from the vault and talk about Mayor Bloomberg and his, you know, mayors against mothers having whatever. They keep changing the name. I can't keep it straight. But let's go ahead and run this ad, and we'll talk about it in real time, analyze it in real time, and show you all the fallacies of this anti-gun commercial and why it's really, in reality, a pro-gun commercial.
911, what's your emergency?
It's my ex. He's trying to break in.
Do you have a restraining order?
This is my
yes,
house!
Please, my son
right, let's pause
is
right
here.
There. Open pause the right there. So the ex is trying to break into the house. She has a restraining order against the ex. To me, that's a pretty big reason of why you should have a firearm in the home. Well, let's go ahead and continue with our analysis here.
I need you to stay calm.
He just broke in the door. You need to come now. Get away from him. Hey, pause.
Once again, so the ex has actually broken into the home. She has already called 911. And once again, as I always say, I'm not knocking the cops. But let's say a good response time is 2 minutes, all right? So it took this guy, 30 seconds to kick into the door? So he's already inside the home. He has a child. Now, if the woman had been armed, she could have shot the guy as he was busting through the door, which, you know, is pretty much what I personally would do if somebody was trying to break into my home. Once they kick in that door, they cross that threshold. I got a nice, big, flat target to shoot at. That's when I'm going to pull the trigger if it is necessary. Let's go ahead and continue with the piece. Okay, so now the woman has been shot. You hear the baby crying in the background. And, of course, do these type of things happen? It's very unfortunate. And also in the president's plan, he has a domestic violence type of thing that he's looking at. And I'm not so much against that. It's just some of the other measures that I have an issue with. But in this piece, so the woman calls the police. She has a restraining order. The person actually breaks into her home. To me, all of those are very good reasons why you should have a firearm in the home and be able to shoot the intruder. And it doesn't even have to be the ex-husband. If it's some guy kicking in your door at 3 a.m, some stranger, you know, he thinks you know, have a nice PlayStation or whatever. He wants to come to your house and steal it. Those are all good reasons as to why you need to be armed or have the ability to arm yourself independent of any type of background check or RFID. Let's say you do have a smart gun, right? You go get your gun. Your hands are sweaty. You got out the shower. You got soap on your hands. Whatever reason, it interferes with your finger on that RFID, and now it can't read your fingerprint scan. So that, to me, that's a pretty big issue to consider before you go out and purchase a smart gun. Now, once again, I'm not against smart guns per se. If you choose to go out and buy one, that's fine. My issue is if, and it's a if at this point, if they want to mandate that the gun manufacturers have to make them, or if they want to mandate that gun stores have to have them, or if they want to mandate that you have to have one of these type of features on your firearm to purchase it. Those are the questions I have an issue with. And like I said, they're at this point just ifs. Now, our Texas governor here, Greg Abbott, he's been very outspoken about these new proposals from Obama. And he says he wants to override Obama's tyranny. No, I guess the headline is from Adan Salazar. It says Texas Governor Greg Abbott made good on his promise to challenge the president's gun control initiatives Friday, calling for a constitutional convention of U.S. states to create several new amendments aimed at reasserting states' rights. Now, I was talking to David Knight about this a little bit earlier, and I'm not knocking Greg Abbott here. I think he has the best of intentions, and I do applaud him for being proactive. But David Knight made the very good point that we wouldn't have to add more amendments if we would just follow the ones that we already have, such as, example, the 10th Amendment, where it says that you can't give the feds can't take powers that are not already granted to them, which is to say you have the power within the state to say no to a federal grab or federal mandates, whatever they may be. And David Knight also made the point, if they're not going to follow Amendment Number 10, they're not going to follow Amendment Number 40 or Amendment Number 100 or as many amendments as you want to add to it. If they don't follow what's already in there, the first 10, they're not going to follow anything else. So once again, you know, hats off to Greg Abbott for being proactive, but let's just follow the stuff that's already in there. And now we see CNN. You know, President Obama was on CNN this past week, and now we have a CNN op-ed piece where they're saying that we need to ban the guns and declare a national state of emergency. And this is Elliot Fineman, and he was a proponent of the National Gun Victims Action Council, and he wants the president to follow through on his recent gun control efforts by monitoring ammunition sales and banning those on terror watch lists from buying guns. Now, once again, as we've seen many times before, they try to circumvent the whole gun control argument by saying we're not banning things outright. We're just trying to limit or put common sense reforms as to how they're used. Such an example, limiting or monitoring ammunition sales. Like, they're not taking your gun away. They're just going to monitor your amount of ammunition and say maybe you can't have that much ammunition. Same thing with magazines. They're not going to take your gun away. They're just going to tell you how many rounds you can have in your magazine or cosmetic features on your firearms if you live in the state of New York. Just all these different silly things that they're not coming and kicking in your door and taking away your guns. Absolutely not. But they can limit the way that you use your firearms. And it says this can be achieved without congressional approval by Obama enacting a national state of emergency that scares the gun lobby and pro-gun lawmakers, writes Fineman. So, once again, they're making it very clear that they don't want you to have a firearm in your home or be as free as you want to be to express it, because we see in Obama's legislation, he wants to get rid of things such as gun trust. And a gun trust, let's say, for example, if myself and Joe Biggs want to buy a gun suppressor for an AR-15, right? We could go get a gun trust and we can both use it even though we have no criminal history, as he's a combat veteran. I have a clean record, nothing more than a traffic ticket or so. Obama's saying that criminals get into these things and will go buy, you know, a suppressor or a fully automatic rifle and then go commit a crime with it. If that does happen, I'm pretty sure those are very, very rare. Somebody who's going to rob a liquor store is just going to get a .38 snub-nosed revolver, whether they buy it legal or black market or whatever else. The black market, of course, assuming that they have some type of prior felony charge. And then they're going to go out there and commit the crime anyway. Nobody's going to go through the long, lengthy process of trying to get approved for a gun trust, if that is the case. Now, I want to throw to a report I did a few years back talking about how smart guns endanger children, because I see this article right here. Five times kids defended themselves from crooks using guns. And one in particular was a boy in North Carolina who defended his grandmother when somebody broke into their home. She pulled out, the boy pulled out the shotgun and shot the intruder. So this is why you need to have your kids trained how to use firearms. That's why I do recommend, if you are going to have a firearm in the home, take your kids out to the range, say, hey, teach them basic gun safety like my dad did with me and my sisters and my cousins. He said, hey, this is what a firearm is. You don't point it at people. This is not a toy. You got water guns and other toys. This is not a toy. Teach you responsible ways to use the firearm. And this is something that your children need to know if you're going to have a firearm in the home.
As citizens in New York refuse to register their weapons with politicians who have armed bodyguards, new schemes to infringe upon Second Amendment rights are already in the works. The Justice Department is clamoring for American gun owners to have smart guns that wouldn't operate without biometrics and/or some type of proximity device, such as a watch. You may say, well, what's wrong with that? In Iowa, a father was forced to leave a gun range because the state said his daughters were too young to fire a handgun even with adult supervision. You may also be saying, guns and children don't mix. A child should never be allowed anywhere near a gun.
A male enters, he has a gun in his hand, and he points it toward this young man. At that point, the young man fired his handgun at the suspect, and the suspect was hit.
But it surprised me a little bit, you know, that he would do something like this, but I'm glad he did. I'm glad his father trained him for this.
When I was back there on the phone with 911, I heard the bathroom light turn on that was leading to the closet. And when I saw the door handle turn, I shot him. I guess it went through the door and went through him and went through the wall.
A 15-year-old boy and his 12-year-old sister had been home alone in the Mount Royal Village subdivision. Then about 2:30, a pair of home invaders tried the front and back doors, then broke a back window. The brother grabbed his father's assault rifle and knew what to do with it.
Two suspects showed up at Tomball Hospital. One, the adult, had multiple gunshot wounds and was flown to Memorial Hermann Hospital.
But under laws such as those in Iowa, those children wouldn't have been able to defend themselves, especially if the weapons they used were their parents' registered smart guns. So as the establishment continues to put perfume on the pig known as gun control, remind them that the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. You can find more reports at Infowars.com.
Now, in other news, we've been talking about groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and how they're using social media to bolster their ranks. And while that is a problem, the government, in my opinion, is putting a very unfair mandate on social media to police these things. And we see FedTech Summit social media as an informer network. Government demands tech companies find solution to terror recruiting. And it says talks between the government and Facebook, Twitter, and Google and Microsoft will center on the use of social media to recruit terrorists, according to CNN. And they're saying finding potential terror agents and inspire them to become violent and coordinate attacks. Of course, that's what some of these groups are using these social media platforms for. Once again, I don't encourage that. They could stop this stuff simply by shutting down the Twitter accounts of groups like ISIS, but they don't do that because they can track their activity. Even though they're tracking the activity, they're not stopping the terror attacks that follow from the activity. It's very strange to me indeed. Also, we see here domestically, Pepsi is now going to label some of their products non-GMO in their labeling efforts, because you recall previously Pepsi had been against labeling GMOs back in 2013. They spent close to $9 million fighting labeling of their products as GMO, but now it seems like they have conceded, at least in a small way, to the demands and will of the people. And lastly, before we go into more special reports in our next segments, Marine Corps ordered to make job titles gender neutral. Officials asked to review job titles and eliminate the word man whenever possible. So basically, they want the ladies to feel a little more comfortable when they are in their roles. It seems like the G.I. Jane type of reality is becoming more of a reality every single day. So stay tuned. After this break, we'll have some special reports, one from Harry Dent as well as John Bound, coming up right here on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
We've had numerous financial experts on the show, Gerald Celente, Harry Dent, many others as well, and now we have this article from Michael Snyder, Stock Market Crash 2016, This is the Worst Start to a Year for Stocks Ever. They say when CNN starts sounding like the economic collapse blog, you know that things are really getting bad. So personally, I don't own any stocks. Now, I do understand it's more than just whether or not you own stocks, how it affects you. I saw that movie, what's it called? The Big Short, recently has Christian Bale, a lot of guys in it, talking about the stock market crash of many years ago. And it affects many people who have nothing to do with the stock market. It may affect your employer or, you know, if you rent a home or things to that nature. So it's more than just if you don't have any skin in the game or so you think, it can still affect you in ways that you're not anticipating. A Wall Street sinks as China turmoil hits global shares. Another great article detailing the issues that are going on over there. Also, Dow drops sliding at close to cap worst ever start to year. So it's not just InfoWars or anybody else. A lot of people are warning about this. Now, personally, you know, a lot of people have different things they do to get prepared. Some people invest in stocks or bitcoins or gold or any number of things. You know, I can't tell you what to do. I just would advise anybody to save money the best you can. I know a lot of people find it difficult. They have large families, they have medical bills, any number of other things that may impede your ability to save, but save what you can. Also, be very wary of where your money goes. Do you really need to buy the biggest, best, newest? Can you get by with something that's a little cheaper, but still cost effective and solid? And with more on this, we have Harry Dent, who is on the Alex Jones Show today, warning of such things and what you need to do to prepare yourself in 2016.
The point is, what you've said is basically happening just as you said it would, just as your last predictions came eerily true. Tell us what's happening currently and then what you expect now that the optics are closer and clearer with the electron microscope, what the next shoe to drop is, Mr. Dent.
Well, again, I've been looking at China, number one, because they have the greatest bubble in the world. They have overbuilt their economy for 12 to 15 years in the future. Massive migration into cities where people don't really have jobs. They have them building stuff for nobody. And that's what they've been doing for 15 years. I have never seen a bubble to compare to this. So I'm saying, look, we have a bubble around the world in demographic spending, which keeps declining in more countries. And we can predict this by country. Japan was the first to peak, and then the U.S., and now Europe. but we also have the greatest debt bubble in modern history, 2 to 4 times what we've seen back in the roaring 20s, last time we had a debt bubble. And all we need, like in 2008 with the subprime crisis, is a trigger to cause this debt bubble to reset and deleverage, or what I call a financial detox. And this is happening. I've been looking at China, number one, because it had the greatest stock bubble in the shortest period of time, with the least sophisticated investors who were jumping out of the real estate bubble there to get into the stock bubble, and now it's collapsing. And the government is doing the same thing, Alex, it did in 1929 when the U.S. stock bubble started to burst. Both bubbles went down 42% in 2.5 months, and then the government steps in and starts buying its own stock market to try to prop it up, and it only lasts about 4 months before the bubble collapses and gets worse. You cannot stop a bubble from bursting once you create it. The only way you can stop a bubble is not to create it in the first place, and nobody gets that. We are in a bubble around the world. Commodities, we've been predicting for years, have already collapsed. Nobody thought oil would be at $32 a barrel. We said it would be $20 to $30 a barrel years ago. Nobody thought that the U.S. bubble would burst in real estate in 2005. We said it'll burst. Now it's going to burst more. So investors and people need to say, look, we've had this great bubble. It's been artificially stimulated by governments around the world, especially the Fed here in the United States. Take your gains from the bubble and turn it back into cash and liquidity so you can survive this crash that's going to happen. It is going to be worse. And we just said this in our January newsletter. 2016 is going to go down, I think, is the worst year for the stock market, not since 2008, not since 2001, since 1931, because this crash is going to happen rapidly, and it's starting in China, and that's what I've been looking for. I finally told people late last year, gosh, the thing I've been looking for in the last couple of years is for a major bubble to burst, not just oil, which was first, but the second one is China's bubble bursting, and they're not going to be able to
stop. So you're saying we're facing another Great Depression generally, or the same numbers in the stock market?
Yeah, actually, we're facing a bigger crash than 2008, which was about 55% in 17 months. I think we're going to see 70% in the next year, year and a half, and ultimately a little more than that down the road. We are going to see a Great Depression. We started to see the Great Depression, which I forecast back in 2007 and 8. We started to see
that. So you're saying the new Great Depression is basically months away?
Yes. I think it's going to happen between this year, 2016, and 2022.
And they're getting ready to take the guns on top of it. I tell you, this is a recipe for just explosions. Please continue.
Yeah. I mean, and again, people don't realize, nobody's seen this happen in their lifetime. The last time we had a bubble burst in debt and financial assets, stocks, commodities, real estate, everything, was in the early 30s, and the stock market went down 89% in 2.5 years. Real estate went down 26%, 61% in New York, never came back for decades. Stocks didn't come back for 25 years. This is something major. You have to get out of the way of this. It's a matter of survival. And then when these bubbles burst, whether it's real estate in New York or beachfront property in Florida or anywhere else, you're going to be able to buy stuff at rates you will not believe if you protect your wealth now and wait until the crash happens.
I understand you're about surviving and thriving in bad times, but getting back to your demographic cliff, all your charts, the things you used at Bain to be able to successfully predict things, and all your best-selling books. Specifically, I mean, you know, because at a certain point it does get down to tea leaves on exact times. 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I mean, we'll be in a Great Depression. They'll be telling us everything's great, like they tell us Obamacare is free. But how deep will this have to get before they admit it's a depression? I mean, obviously, most third world countries are already in a depression. They're in flames. So there is a global depression. It's just not evenly distributed. But how long until it hits here? How bad will it be distributed, say, here versus Australia versus China versus Europe versus Russia? Where are the worst places? Where are the best places?
Okay. First of all, we've been waiting for a long time to see. I mean, the governments have been keeping this bubble going by printing trillions of dollars, like $10, $12 trillion in the last several years. They've been filling in the downturn. They didn't do that in the 1930s. So in the 1930s, the stock market peaked in 1929 when demographics would have said it would, and it just went down. Well, no, they've kept this bubble going. But we've been looking for the final signs where I call the smart money is exiting the market. This happens when the largest companies like Google and Apple and Netflix and Amazon are going straight up, and most companies, 80% of the companies, are going down. The average company in the stock indices is down 20% right now, while these big companies are making new highs at unbelievable valuations. That is the sign that the bubble's finally peaking. And so I think this bubble's going to burst. It's starting to burst now. To have December and January be the worst in decades is a sign that something's wrong. This happened in 2001. It happened in 2007 and 8. This is a sign that something's wrong, and I think you're going to see not a correction, not a 10, 20% correction that the most conservative analysts are calling for. I think you're going to see a major crash in the next year.
Well, you've been right over and over and over again. It's sickening feeling because I don't want you to be right, but I mean, you're one of the most accurate people out there. I'm not just saying that. People can all witness it. I wish you were wrong.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between the chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge.
Know your history and you will know your enemy. Infowars.com.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
And now joining us in studio is Leanne McAdoo with the News Blitz. Leanne?
Well, Jakari, I wanted to come in and, you know, clear up some more conspiracy theories. President Obama cleared up a big conspiracy theory last night, of course, and admitted that, yes, indeed, there is a conspiracy to take our guns. So that was one big conspiracy theory that, you know, was indeed a fact. But also, let's go ahead and talk about the big news that's kind of coming out. And if, you know, you'll recall when people were going with the birther truther movement there with Obama, it was racist.
Yes.
But of course, they demanded to see Ted Cruz's birth certificate. Is he a natural born citizen? Can, you know, is he eligible to become president? And of course, you know, he turned his mother's birth certificate over right away. Breitbart has it there and proving that his mother was born in Delaware in 1934. That establishes her citizenship by birth, which according to U.S. law, means that her son as well is a U.S. citizen, even though he was born in Canada. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Very racist. Very, very racist there. But now here's another conspiracy. Hillary Clinton has been saying, and she, you know, under oath, and again, she goes on the campaign trail and she says, you know, I did not use my email server to send anything that would have been, you know, breaking the law, nothing that was, at the time deemed to be classified. Well, obviously we've, you know, been able to see some of her emails to see that that's not the case. Well, now this could be a smoking gun showing that she indeed, broke the federal law. Basically this was an email she sent June 17th, 2011 with her senior State Department advisor, Jake Sullivan. And she was asking him for the talking points for the day. And he was saying, he responded back to her, well, they're having some issues sending a secure fax. They're working on it. And so she responds, if they can't, turn it into non-paper with no identifying heading and send non-secure. So right there, she's instructing him to remove a classified marking and then transmit it in an unencrypted manner. So if he indeed did that, which I'm sure we'll never, you know, have any proof of that, well, that could expose her to some serious legal jeopardy. But, you know, it's like, when is enough going to be enough? How many more things need to pile on top of this woman to before people say,
well,
maybe
just,
she's reckless?
It's ever since Nixon, you know, people just really don't scrutinize the politicians. I don't mean scrutinize them unfairly. But, you know, they go after Nixon for Watergate. You know, there have been politicians, whether they be in presidential office or not, who did way worse things, you know, who get a little slap on the wrist if they get anything at all. Because it's to the point now you cannot dare criticize somebody in somebody's in their campaign. It's just, you know, you can't talk about it because that's my guy. You can't talk about Hillary because that's somebody else's lady. You just cannot do it.
Right. And it is like, how dare you? She's going to be the first woman president. We shouldn't scrutinize her. It's her time when she absolutely does not embody the feminine whatsoever. It's not like we would have our first female president. Let's just get that clear just because she has a vagina. Now, moving on, let's go on to this like migrant rape situation in Europe. This is something that has been personally infuriating me as a woman. You know, here in the West, women have fought for decades to just kind of be on equal footing as men, to be able to walk the streets, wear whatever we want and not ask for it, and to be able to change that narrative to where it's like, no, don't rape people. That's what's bad. Not, oh, well, you shouldn't have worn that short dress. Like, still there's an issue, but at least it's like getting to that point. Well, here in Europe, we're seeing the exact opposite thing happening. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the German chancellor come out and say, well, we just need to understand that these immigrants are just, you know, they're going to be a little bit more criminal and it's, you know, everyone just back off. But an active cover up with it as well, which is so frustrating. Well, now the police chief there in Cologne has been fired for basically they're saying that his department mishandled the situation there on New Year's Eve. Now, yes, I do agree that he should have been fired simply for the fact that they put out a message New Year's Day saying that it was a great night. Everything was it was jolly and a happy atmosphere and what a great day we had, and didn't talk about the fact that there was groups of more than 1,000 men sexually assaulting women right in front of police who were trying to stop these attacks from happening, but they were overwhelmed. And Spiegel Online actually reported that groups of men were preventing officers from reaching these women that were crying out for help. I mean, there's thousands of men surrounding these women, lighting fireworks off, and it was a very dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. So what I would say, yeah, you failed in reporting it the next day, in fact, trying to cover it up. But now they're blaming the police, saying that there were too few police on the streets to prevent these attacks. And so that is how they're spinning this. It's not the fact that you have flooded the country with men from violent misogynistic cultures who stone women to death for being victims of rape. Okay, this is the law. This is the norm where they come from, where you can rape a woman if she's not covered in a burqa or if she's not accompanied by a man, then she's fair game. She can be raped. So this is their culture, and you're blaming the fact that there weren't enough police there to stop these thousands of men from rape. I mean, and if you don't, I mean, this is CNN, this is them firing, but now this is BuzzFeed. Check this out. This is disgusting journalism. This is what really happened the night women were sexually assaulted in front of police, right? So that's the whole thing, is that it happened right in front of the police. Where were they? Why didn't they stop it? You get down four paragraphs. The first is, why did the police not do more to protect women? The other question is kind of new, and were the attacks carried out by newly arrived refugees? And if so, what will the backlash be? Oh, goodness. Oh, no backlash, please. People shouldn't be upset about this or concerned or worried about the fact that they said it was going to be isolated. Less than 1% of people from this country were going to be these type of people. What did that 1% all decide to congregate in the city square so they could sexually assault women? Like, it's crazy.
And it doesn't matter where these guys are from. I mean, if they're all black men from Oklahoma and they are running around raping people, like, yeah, you guys need to arrest them and put their ass in jail. That's right. Not cool.
Seriously. No, and this is, and that's the thing. It's like, when did it become just paramount to protect, all of these, you know, Muslim religion and Islam? When did it become, like, who gave the orders that that was paramount to protect Islam no matter what? It trumps all of your concerns. If you don't want to get raped, just stay in your house. These are actually the orders that are being given to women there in Germany and Europe. They're actually saying, stay inside. Don't come out of your house unless you're accompanied by a male. Telling women not to wear certain clothes. Women in France actually last year there was a huge hashtag going around where they were like, we're going to wear our bikinis in the park, because women who were wearing bikinis in the park were being attacked by groups of women who, Muslim women who were telling them to cover up. And it's just like, oh, it's just so frustrating to me. But so anyway, this BuzzFeed article goes on, and I don't know if you guys can doc cam this here, but it goes on and it's like, were they carried out by refugees? Well, indeed, we know that it was. Okay. We have verified proof of that. And then it goes on and on, just talks about how the police did a terrible job. And then right here, the victims describe the chaos that night and the perpetrators being of Arab or North African descent. This led many to claim that the latter were refugees. Okay. And then it goes on and on and on, back on and on about the attacks and how they were. No, sexual harassment happens all the time. And you see, this is a 6-page thing. Mm-hmm. And it never again. All it says is how terrible would this be if there was some backlash for immigrants.
Well, the issue is, Leanne, because I'm sure it's the same way all around the world, but here in the U.S., we always hear about, you know, these campus rapes, these campus assaults, all these women being sexually harassed, and how big of an issue it is. And then should we do things like arming women, regardless, you know, if you agree with that or not? But it's such a big deal here, but when it happens someplace else and it's a different type of deal, it's not, you know, some college bro, you know, it's a different type of person, you know, from different origin or background or whatever else. It's like you can't touch it. You can't dare right. mention it.
No, and it's and even just to show you how this insane it is protecting this image of Islam. So you heard today about the Philly cop who was shot by a man who claims he did it in the name of ISIS. Mm-hmm. He had a stolen gun from a police officer and shoots this cop. Well, the Philly mayor comes out immediately and says this jihadist, he had nothing to do with being a Muslim. It has nothing to do with the religion. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you investigate? Did you know that this wasn't, was he in contact with ISIS and they told him to, I mean, immediately comes out to just declare.
Yeah. And the people would say, well, you're just saying that because the guy's Muslim. I remember the story. I believe it happened in New York. Two officers were sitting in the car. Somebody walked up behind them and shot them both in the head.
Right.
As far as I know, that had nothing to do with Islam, but it's still a very important story to illustrate, you know, violence in the street, regardless of why it was perpetrated. That guy had his reason. This guy had this reason. Other people may have other reasons, but you don't just poo-poo it away because you don't like the reason why they did it. Thank you so much, Leanne McAdoo, for joining us here in the studio.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Regarding executive orders, the Constitution states in Article 2, Section 3, Clause 5, that the executive, i.e. the president, take care that the laws be faithfully executed or face impeachment. Specifically, an executive order must find support in the Constitution. Watering down the Second Amendment in order to confiscate the lawful right of a majority of Americans to protect themselves can hardly mean the laws are being faithfully executed.
The conversation has to be based on facts and truth and what we're actually proposing.
A big miss for Obama as he failed to explain to all of us what is contained in his latest executive order. Allowing HIPAA to protect doctors that order gun confiscation of their patients based on vague conditions is what's really sending alarm bells ringing. As if the healthcare system wasn't screwed up enough unconstitutionally by Obama.
We heard not only from the gun lobby, but from United States senators, that expanding background checks will, not may, will lead to a registry, which will lead to confiscation, which will lead to a tyrannical government.
Let's not forget that Gabrielle Giffords thankfully survived the 2011 Tucson shooting by the possibly MK-Ultra victimized Jared Lee Loeffner, who erratically declared to the police while victims were still being treated, "I just want you to know that I'm the only person that knew about this." Strange. Unfortunately, federal Judge John Roll, a staunch blockade to Obama's future immigration invasion, was murdered, along with five others. Talk about a conspiracy.
I'm sorry, Cooper. Yes, it is fair to call it a conspiracy. What are you saying? Are you suggesting that the notion that we are creating a plot to take everybody's guns away so that we can impose martial law?
While you've been president, we are at the lowest murder rate in our country, all-time low of murders.
We've been talking about Chicago, but downstate Illinois is closer to Kentucky, and everybody hunts down there. And so this is not alien territory to me.
I grew up in Kentucky. Trust me, those guns aren't just for hunting. And secondly, Obama, you don't know a damn thing about Kentucky. Well, I've got bad news for all of you that scoff at the word impeachment. Once Obama leaves office, he will have set the table for global government to legally come in and feast on the American public. Obamatrade, with its laws that bypass the U.S. Congress for the benefit of the banking corporate elite. Obamacare, a middle-class destroying Stasi-esque data collection system masquerading as a healthcare system. Obamagration, flooding our cities with criminals and jihadists. And now Obamafiscation, a solitary push to reduce the threat posed by armed Americans as the final dish by the New World Order's puppet is presented to the table. By not impeaching Obama, our nationalist apathy will legally and necessarily aid and abet the death of the United States of America. The time is now. Call your representative at 202-224-3121. Operators are standing by. And if your representative needs more information, direct them to the NorthAmericanLawCenter.org's Articles of Impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama at the very top of their webpage. John Bound for Infowars.com.
So joining us is Stephen Pidgeon, NorthAmericanLawCenter.org. Sir, you're the constitutional lawyer, political scientist, but that, you know, my point is, am I right? We have a responsibility. I mean, the law isn't something we just enforce when we feel like it, sir. Is that correct?
That's correct, Alex. And in fact, what you're saying is extremely important. We've reached a threshold point now where Mr. Obama is poised to completely overthrow the constitutional republic with a continuous stream of executive orders which exceed the power of the presidency and usurp the authority of Congress. He's doing it through the expansion of bureaucracies and demanding Congress fall in line with his ultra-virus acts to the Constitution. This latest play with gun control is particularly onerous, and he's using the socialist tax plan called Obamacare to implement what really are policies that were originated in the Third Reich. You know, the Obamacare strikes chords of doctrines that were criminalized under the 1947 Nuremberg Act, when doctors were executed from the Nazi regime for proposing just exactly what's on the table with Obamacare. And he's using the same playbook to say, well, doctors can determine whether or not you're a health care threat. If you're a Social Security recipient, you have no right to own a firearm, so on and so forth, all in a guise to completely disarm the American public while he imports hundreds of thousands of Muslim terrorists and other paid mercenaries who come into the country unarmed to find mosques that are essentially armories.
And what you're saying is borne out by the facts. It sounds sensational, but for those that don't know, it's the plotting. Obamacare, an open power grab of the whole infrastructure, one-seventh the economy, blank check, the funding, the UPS planes funded by the feds flying in, disappearing. JFK Airport says we're told just let them in and just release them. We don't even look at their IDs. I mean, meanwhile, the TSA grabs 10-year-old girls. This is an unprecedented takeover. And walking through this, sir, you know, flesh out what you're saying here about this appearing to be a planned takeover, because I agree. This doesn't just look like a soft takeover anymore. It looks like there could be even more draconian stuff planned.
It's not a soft takeover anymore. And this is where we have arrived. I mean, all of this business of allowing criminal activity on the part of Mr. Obama over the last 6 years, including his usurpation of the office, his failure to establish his own identity, his identity fraud, actionable identity fraud, the crimes he's committed in terms of rules of engagement in the field, deploying American troops, spending money, American tax dollars, to further the benefit of Hezbollah, Hamas, the Palestinian Liberation Army, Islamic Jihad, his own funding, training, and deployment of ISIS. All of these are well-established facts.
Gosh.
And buttressed by a great deal of evidence, and all amount to egregious breaches of his trust as the president of the United States, and they're all impeachable offenses. And so either the country acts to restore the rule of law and impeach this gentleman for the crimes he has committed against this country, or we lose the constitutional republic. I mean, it really has gotten to that point.
Well, he wears a Wahhabist ring. He has family that have overthrown countries in the Middle East. He's been caught financing the Muslim Brotherhood. I thought they were just manipulating the Arabs and using them to take over the Middle East, the more radical groups. But when you really get down to it, I've talked to a lot of senior people in the government and folks at high level in government that have talked to others, and I've confirmed it over 2 years with high level folks. And I've got Bongino calling me up going, I didn't tell you that. And I said on air, no, it wasn't Bongino. He said it's worse than I know, but never told me anything secret. The head of Obama's foreign details. And then he quit saying it's worse than you know. I have got it, and I've gotten some threats over this because they know it's true. Obama is a practicing Wahhabist. He actually prays every five times a day. And I didn't believe this back when I heard it 5 years ago, but this is from high-level people. They are scared of him. I mean, I guess that's why Congress won't do anything, is he's backed by George Soros, this crazy Nazi collaborator. I can't believe we're in this much trouble, and the left is supporting it. And Merkel says, basically, let, quote, criminals come in. That's a quote. And the feminist mayor says, let them, you know, it's your fault, women, that you're raped. I mean, I guess the left really is taking over and is allied with radical Islam.
Well, it's not just the left, Alex. This is what our problem is here today. We've had a great deal of stonewalling coming from the upper leadership also of the Republican Party. And there really is no excuse for it. You know, recently 163 Democrat legislators signed on a bill that will essentially gut the Bill of Rights entirely based upon this gun control rhetoric. So we're at a point where, you know, it's gun control today and internment camps tomorrow. The reality is that when you're discussing Mr. Obama, he has committed a series of crimes that are ongoing, and the crimes have not stopped. We had to stop at 48 articles because we just simply couldn't gather together more of the treasonous acts that he's committed. For instance, trading Mr. Bergdahl for five al-Qaeda leaders that were immediately deployed into the field. Also spying on Congress, an article that appears to have gone away, spying on Congress and foreign leaders without any probable cause. We're under a search and seizure environment with cameras deployed everywhere and NSA downloads, et cetera. All of these things violate the Constitution, and we've sat back and taken it for 6 years.
And that's it for our show tonight. Be sure to go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a free trial. You can see the Alex Jones Show, the nightly news, the special reports, the rants, all right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. And also go to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. Many great reports that you can see there as well. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again next week.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.